You're listening to a Nova podcast. Not many people can talk with apes, but primatologist Sue Savage Rumba has made a career out of it. For more than 25 years, she's been conducting language studies with bonobos, primates closely related to humans. She compares her work to traveling in a foreign country.
If we go to Japan, we have to speak differently, think differently, eat differently. And we feel that when we're working with the bonobos, that is the same kind of plane on which we interact. We interact with them as equals. We become a little bit like them, and they become a little bit like us.
Savage Rumba has developed a form of basic communication with the bonobos she studies by using a set of geometric symbols to represent various objects, emotions, and actions. Kanzi, a 26-year-old bonobo who's worked with her since his infancy, is especially fluent.
The number of symbols that are on Kanzi's board is around 360. They're squares and circles and crosses and diamonds, and he can identify all of those. Kanzi can learn to attach new ones very rapidly. All you have to do, which we demonstrated many years ago, is simply have a label like the M&M label that's on the bag of M&Ms or the Coke label that's on a Coke. All you have to do is let them see those labels when they have those foods, and they can learn them very, very rapidly. But the basic language that they're acquiring that's in their head and their minds and their brains and their hearts is what we're speaking right here today. It's spoken English. And the lexigrams are just a way of writing.
Despite skepticism from some primate experts, Savage Rumba maintains that bonobos like Kanzi can also communicate with one another in remarkably sophisticated ways.
We did a brief blind study to demonstrate that you could show one of them a certain food, and the other one, who couldn't see them but could hear them, could then listen to that sound. Sometimes they repeated the sound, sometimes they didn't, but they could tell me on the keyboard what food the other bonobo had seen, even though they hadn't seen the food. So, for example, you could show Kanzi a container of yogurt, and you didn't say, "Kanzi, tell Pamanisha yogurt." You'd say, "Kanzi, tell Pamanisha what this is." And Kanzi go, "Ah!" And then I'd say, "Pamanisha, what did Kanzi see?" This had to be done by two people, of course, who couldn't see each other. And then Pamanisha could answer the question.
In addition to recognizing objects and actions, bonobos have shown that they may also understand more abstract concepts.
You can't test a word like "ah" or "that" or "it" or "where." You can't show a picture of an "it." You have to use conversational context to show that he understands "it." You have to say, "Kanzi, I put it down over there. Can you go get it?" And you find that he can do that. You might preface it with, "I put the book down over there. Can you get it, but don't get the bottle?" He can do sentences like that. So we know he's really comprehending words like "it." Those kinds of tests take a long time, and they're very detailed to run.
But her patience pays off. As Savage Rumba is discovering, communicating with bonobos and other great apes may even teach us something about how human language evolved.
The question for the past 30 years has been, do apes have language? Can they use grammar? Can they understand words? These are not really very interesting questions. The more important questions about language: what do we do with it? How does it organize our groups? How does it weave the web of cultural relationships among us? These are the questions that we are beginning to address, because we have a whole group of language-competent bonobos. So we are going forward with the questions about language that are important and that should be addressed, and that will tell us how it was that we became human ourselves.
For more on bonobos and what they might teach us about ourselves, visit us online at pbs.org/nova/bonobos.